Welcome back, Patriot Pals, to the Mel Kay Show. I am back with my science guru, the man who breaks it down better than anyone else out there, Michael L. Thank you for joining me again, my friend.
Well, thank you. Good to see you, Mel and Rob. How are you guys? Doing good?
We're great. We're excited for what you have to bring to the table always. It's always a little different than what else is out there and always ends up being very prophetic. So yeah. I'm very excited for what you're bringing today.
Oh, man. So I've got a whole laundry list of things that I've been digging into. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick what Mel wants after I go through a couple subjects. All right.
Great.
So let's do this. Let's go to the start.
Perfect.
You see everything?
I sure do.
I need to move you again.
Right. I know.
Ready to go?
Yes, right. We are. Let's do it.
Let's touch base really quick. These are the two ways to get a hold of me, by the way. A lot of people on True Social have been hitting me up, and it's actually been more efficient than email, although I get both.
Right.
So yeah. I'm actually getting a bunch of people that are saying, hey, Mike, check this video out. Hey, Mike, check this video out, which has been great, guys, because a lot of the technology that some of you guys are finding are, you know, they're kind of, I'm going to do a whole show on this because I've done some research on some of this technology, what's real, what's not.
Okay. Yep.
Med beds are still coming, guys, and it's true, but I also found out some of the technology behind it, which will be fun.
Great.
So here are topics, guys. We're not going to get through all of these. There's no way the way we do stuff. So I want to talk about a couple of things. I just want to touch on masks first, some research.
Right.
And I don't want to go into that in detail because people beat that to death. I do want to talk about the stupid monkey virus. I call it the stupid monkey, right? I'm sure you've had people that have done that also on your show, but I just want to kind of touch base on it. But this other issue, number three, is this hepatitis that we're finding in these kids that have been vaccinated.
Right.
And so one thing I've always kind of been watching in the background, as you know, is what's going on with this vaccine and what trends are we seeing? And we're seeing a couple of trends. This is in particular.
Yeah.
So.
And we keep seeing articles on it, but nobody's gone into what they're not even connecting it in these articles. So I'm really happy that you're going to do that because I do keep seeing the headline and then you read it and it's very vague.
It is. But when you come back in and you're looking at the tests and the actual medical data, what we are seeing is that there is a trend here. And there's a trend for a couple of reasons. And so I'm going to go into that a little bit. I think it's worth our time going through there. And then the bottom four, there's no way we're going to get to all of them. So I do want to make a quick comment here. If you look at down here, this is the fake med beds and technology. We'll do that probably in depth next round.
Okay, great.
Tesla Towers, actually. Remember I talked about the Tesla Towers out in Texas?
Yeah.
There's an advanced version of the Tesla Towers that are actually in specific areas around the world right now. But what they've done, and I want to go into detail on that moving forward, because there's a very specific difference into what Tesla built and what's working versus what, because of new technology, they've taken the Tesla towers and they, using this new technology, have made it like a supercharged Tesla tower.
Wow.
So it does work. But what they're doing is they're changing the way the energy is being transmitted, reconfiguring it, and then utilizing it.
Wow.
But the theory was based on the Tesla Tower. So Tesla, thank you again, but it's advanced form of it. It's really cool, right? Wow. And then I do want to go into a couple of things. We'll do that. This is moving forward, guys. I've been really digging into this gene editing information, specifically around the food.
Right.
What's being modified, what's being regulated, and who's not regulating.
Right.
That's kind of a cool one we're going to go into. Has anybody been doing that with you?
No. I've done it myself. I think I sent you something on the World Economic Forum partners page. There's a couple of groups. One I think is called Ginkgo. There's a couple of different ones, and they're doing all of this gene editing with seeds and with the fruits and vegetables and all of that. But again, as we always say about that kind of technology or CRISPR technology, it's good if it's used for good. It's not good if it's used for evil. And, you know, I'm really excited about that show because also I think I sent to you, UCLA has somehow come up with a lettuce that has vaccines in it and things like that. And GMO modified stuff that we don't know what's in it. Like we talked about with the formula, with Gates making the formula, you don't know what else is in there. So I think that's a really important topic.
Yeah. And so what I did is I kind of looked into it a little bit in detail as to what countries, who's doing what first. Right. And then I looked into, okay, what are they doing and what material behind it? And then this last one that we're going to get into, and I need to do an entire two shows on these torsion fields. I built my own little torsion field generator experiment, and it's been running downstairs for about 4 weeks now.
Wow.
It's actually, I'm really excited.
That's the best part about you being a real scientist. You find this stuff and then you create it.
Yeah, I do. I built this thing, but I'm because I got two gardens. One is in a torsion field and one is not. I wanted to reproduce some data that I found.
Cool.
And so my neighbors probably think I'm absolutely crazy because in one of my windows, I got this, all these plants. They probably think I'm growing marijuana with these torsion fields. But anyway, we'll move on to that one.
Okay, cool.
All right, so really quickly, I want to talk about the masks and some of the things that they've been finding as a result of some of these masks is these microplastics that have been found deep in the lungs of people that have been utilizing these masks for long term. So the researchers have found 39 microplastics in surgical masks that they're taking lung samples. But what they were originally doing, Mel, was people that were not dead, they were looking and seeing these things.
Wow.
Now, though, they're starting to see it in people that are alive where these plastics have now been embedded into the lungs. These small little microplastics as a result of inhaling all the time and multiple uses, right?
Right.
So I found 30 research papers, white papers that have been peer reviewed as late as April of 2022 is the latest data that I've gone. But the data was first finding that the microplastics were found in human cells, but they're also finding them in people that are alive now. So they're starting to do this magnetic resonance technology, looking into this now. What's going to be really interesting, and we're going to have to kind of, this is just kind of a, hey, let's keep an eye on it long term, is I think that this is going to contribute to lung cancer moving forward. That's my theory here. Because
This is scary stuff. Listen, Michael, there are many, many people, especially in New York City, still wearing not just one mask, but two masks this late in the game. It is absolutely shocking to me. And then Fauci said that they want to, you know, that DOJ is suing to reinstall the masks in airlines.
They are.
And on the top of that, Fauci said on Neil Cavuto the other day that it's about keeping power. This mask thing is really bad. You and I talked about a year and a half ago that the masks were causing, and in the Spanish flu also, bronchial infections and stuff. But it looks like this plastic thing and the fibers coming in are an even bigger problem, possibly.
It is. It absolutely is. And normally the body would be able to withstand or compensate for it. Let's say you're wearing a mask for a day.
Right.
The body would be able to adapt, move with the microphilia and the different things to be able to get that out of the system.
Right.
However, what this is showing is that the long-term effects of this, and there's 1,000 articles out there saying masks are bad, right?
I know.
There's not one saying that they're good. But my point is, this is the one that goes beyond just like in terms of like the bacteria and the different types of things. This is also talking about microplastics that are being inhaled. So something that I think we need to keep our eye on. So this is going to be now on my radar for the next, probably the next few months. I think longer term, I think it's going to have much bigger impact. I really do. So I want to go into this next group though, before we do this. So here we're talking about where they're looking at mortality rates with regards to the oxygen, bacteria, and fungi, which we know there's a ton of information on this thing. So as you start to go in here, results of the studies that we've been looking at, that mask mandates actually cause 1.5 times greater the number of deaths, 50% or more compared to no mask. So what this is going into But looking at the data and saying, hey, wait a minute, now let's look at what the masks have been doing in terms of infections or other things. And you hit the nail on the head, right? Where even here in Florida, I'm seeing people walking around with masks.
I don't understand it.
I think what they are is visitors, right? Because I'm right around that Orlando area.
But it's a mental illness at this point. It's become about fear. It's crazy. Blankie.
You know, like little kids walking around with their blankie. That's what this is at this point, but it's killing them.
It's
killing them. So hopefully we can get past this. I actually put down some of the publications, and guys, I'll throw it on Truth Social. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw a link up there because I know I got a bunch of people following me on that. So I'll just throw it on there. Mel, I'll send you these slides in email. You can do with them what you'd like.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yes, they look very similar.
Right. The two monkeys. Okay. And I can say that, right?
Yeah, no, you can say whatever you want here. We're a free speech platform no matter what.
So here's something interesting. 6 months before the cases were coming out, Knucklehead comes out and he talks about the WHO with their doing surveillance that actually doing germ games. You've talked about this, right?
Right.
But they were talking about this where they were looking at smallpox in airports and how it was going to be dispersed, right? So what amazes me is these people talk about what they're doing, and then it comes out, and the average person doesn't put two and two together.
I know.
So really what we do is, and you do this really well, by the way, is you listen to what everybody's saying, and you're coming out saying, hey, guys, this is what they're saying. But then what happens is it, and you said it earlier, is, hey, we talked about this 18 months ago, but zero on what these people are saying, guys, because they're telling us what's coming next.
Right.
Right?
Right. Because also, Michael, remember when we were talking about smallpox in around this time, November 21? First, Bill Gates mentioned it, and then they found smallpox. And remember in Pennsylvania at a Merck lab, within the same week, and that's when they were at that NTI event that they had, Gates Foundation and the World Health Organization and the other same event 201 crew in Germany about monkeypox, smallpox. Is monkeypox an animal disease that has jumped to human? I mean, is that a gain of function situation?
That is a great question. And that's exactly where I was going.
Wow.
On this thing. So give me a second.
Because that's what I've been thinking. Like, why isn't it smallpox? Why would it be this? You know,
and what's interesting here, before we get into that, it's exactly where I was going with this.
Oh, great.
In my research. But what's really interesting when you're talking about and looking at exactly what this is they're predicting what's going on and they're telling us beforehand. However, for people that are vaccinated, this thing is deadly. Because if you've already have a compromised immune system, so your immune system has dropped back 50%, right? And then we do the sandwich effect of injecting smallpox into this new generation that hasn't been vaccinated and are immune to this, right? You're putting in something that is 10 times more potent than the COVID, which is, you know, flu. Now what you're doing is you're slamming an immune system that has already been compromised, and it could kill people. Now, originally, if you remember, I've always suspected that what was going to happen with this vaccine is get everybody vaccinated and then come up with an advanced version of this. And I think maybe that plan wasn't going to work. This is plan B. It could be. I don't know. But let's look into what it is. What's the monkey virus and what's so silly about this? So again, this thing comes out. And so monkeypox virus is actually a variation of one particular virus. But if you look really quickly here, of course, PCR testing comes back out. They're able to do this and they're able to find this thing. And it was amazing that it came out. But there's been research over the last three decades on variations of the smallpox virus.
Right.
Multiple variations. So I'm going to show you what those are. And it's going to be kind of interesting here. So here is an example. of the DNA PNR testing. Now, what this this is, by the way, the Journal of Clinical Microbiology. This is an article back in 2004. Wow. However, what he did in his testing of this thing was he came back and said, well, wait a minute, if you take different types of melting temperature, you can actually exactly identify if this is a monkey virus or what version of this thing is. So basically what he's saying is monkey virus that sits at this. It's very similar to, you know how we're doing distilled water now?
Yeah.
And what we're doing in the distilled water, right, is we got all these particles and it's crap. Can I say right. that?
Yeah, you can say anything you want here.
We got all this crap in our water, right? And so what we've been trying to do is get out all of the chlorine and all of the stuff that they're putting in there trying to kill our pineal gland, right?
Right.
This guy's taking the same approach with the Varroa virus. So what he's saying is, I can tell you exactly which version this is by putting it in, cooking it, looking for a specific DNA. So it's way advanced in the PCR testing, but nobody's doing it. But this guy proved in 2004 he could do it. That's what this thing did. And by the way, he did multiple variations of this testing.
Yeah.
And he was successful in doing this. So in answer to your question,
this brings me back, though, to Carrie Mullis saying that the PCR test can be manipulated to find anything. Like, why are they still using the PCR? It seems very bizarre.
The PCR testing could be good or it could be bad. Okay. Again, just like everything that we talk about.
Right.
PCR testing could be extremely valuable if done in the right way. Or PCR testing could be done to, you know, okay, let's raise up the threshold. That way we can get anything in there, right?
Let's throw
a TV in there and you're going to test it for it.
Right.
Okay.
I see what you're saying. Great.
Clarify. Go one direction or the other, but in 2004. So here's variations. Camel pox, cow pox, monkey pox. I mean, this thing goes on, but what this guy did here was, he said, hey, my PCR testing based on temperature would allow us to discriminate between which version of this could work. This was in 2004. And in 2004, there were multiple variations of this testing. It was already there. They knew it.
2004. That is insane. When you show me things like this that go back 20 years, it is shocking stuff.
Yeah. And this, I think what's funny about that, it's not funny, but is I go back into the, again, it's breadcrumbs. Every single time I find these are little bitty breadcrumbs, but this article here, guys, and you can look it up. Once you look this article up, you'll find 20, 30 articles, medical articles similar to this one.
Wow.
But this was the funny piece is there's so many variations and they chose number 6 and number 7 to throw out there to the public. But as you can see here, there's multiple variations of this thing. Now, what's interesting about the monkey virus or monkeypox in particular is it really wasn't, it was confined to a particular area within Africa. It has never been going, but they were finding this back in 2004, but it never expanded. It was within this particular region.
Right.
It never got out. And all of a sudden, it started coming out, which I thought was kind of interesting. So over 100 monkeypox infections detected in 10 countries. Again, here's the countries that they found. And I know you're going to go with this: United Kingdom, Spain, Belgium, Sweden, Italy, Canada, and the United States.
All the lockdown places. Right.
Same group.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And did you come across that Fauci had gotten a $10 million monkeypox grant to find cures? So this is all saying to me, it's all the same people.
Same group, all around the board, every single time. As a matter of fact, I don't even put that in here anymore. I only did this because I found it funny.
These are the main places that you know, triggered the entire globe locking down over COVID.
And what's interesting here is where I think this research goes is it's very similar to some new weapon technology that we're going to talk about in about a month. But what's interesting is scientists develop this. And again, it goes back to the same thing. Scientists are developing and looking into this as a way of predicting and containing these issues, right? These viruses, right? That's what they want to do. But then there's this group back here that are funding all this. And then, so there's this group that sits back and says, wow, okay, now how can we weaponize this? This is exactly what happens. You got two groups. I'm in this group, by the way. I'm not in that group. So,
yeah, this is, and then if you listen to what they say, they always seem to say, justify it or plausible deniability, whichever. They seem to say, well, other people, players, say China or Russia or whoever they're blaming for all the ills in the world at the time, could create this. So we have to create it and then find the cure to it. So just in case they create it. And I don't believe that anymore. I think that these are bioweapons that are, you know, nefarious in nature from the beginning. But, you know, but still, it's always, if you ask Fauci or one of these people why they're creating this, they're going to say because they have to prepare for when somebody else does.
Yeah, but then it's like releasing the Kraken, right?
Yeah, it's just so, like, it's just like nuclear weapons. It's right. Like, well, we got to make the stronger nuclear weapon that could destroy everyone and everything in case somebody else does. Yeah. That's what even JFK talked about, the insanity of that argument.
JFK, rest his soul, man. He was like he was a Trump, you know. He fought for it. They didn't like it.
Nope. And they took him out. A lot of it had to do with the military industrial complex and his desire to end all of this weaponry and bioweapons and nuclear weapons. Yeah. He really wanted to get them off the face of the earth, and that did not work for them.
No. So here's a couple of interesting things. Where I pulled out of some of the articles. I tried to summarize it, and it comes down to a couple of things. So Big Pharma's back into this, right? And the scientists said, okay, the vaccine leaves, and it leaves vaccinated individuals are immunocompromised, is the word. But basically what that means is your immune system's cut in half, or it's down 75%.
Right.
So the smallpox vaccine was dangerous even in with a good immune system. You were going to get reactions. You did get reactions. And I know a lot of people think that that was part of it. And I suspect that also back then when the smallpox vaccine came out, then we saw a number of autoimmune illnesses that came out as a result of that. I don't want to talk about that now, and I know a lot of people are going to tell me, Mike, you missed this, but we did talk about this back in December.
Well, let me ask you something looking at this slide for real quick.
Yes.
I've talked about this a couple of times, but I wonder your thoughts. I got a pretty alarming email from a nurse in, a whistleblower nurse in Israel that told me, and this is about a month and a half ago, that told me that there was an unprecedented outbreak of both herpes and shingles for people that had been vaccinated and boosted. And she didn't know if it was happening here, but that a lot of people have herpes or shingles in their system and never have an outbreak. And a lot of these people didn't even know that they were infected or had it at all. But then it appeared that the immune compromise from the vaccine was triggering this. Is that possible? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, you and I've covered that before.
Right.
Remember, I was talking about a lot of these diseases would start to come out because normally, you know, everybody in there has cancer in their body.
Right.
Everybody has a lot of these types of illnesses in their body, but the human body, you know, God created this great vessel, right, that can sustain itself and protect itself. And as soon as you start messing with that ability, that's exactly what's happening. So we've seen that. We talked about that.
Hepatitis, we did. And then, but I think, isn't it related to, isn't herpes and, I'm not sure, you know better, and shingles related to chickenpox? I mean, or is smallpox related to chicken? Are these all in the same family? All variations.
There's some differences in there. However, in terms of the illnesses and the body's ability to fight them, there are a lot of similarities.
Okay.
So you're right. But you have to kind of be more specific,
right?
You know, when you talk about that. So what's really interesting, and I wanted to highlight this piece since this thing came out, is how all of a sudden that a small little area that I told you about where it was completely contained and had not come out at all of a sudden now goes boom, all over the world. I doubt that it was two people visiting this particular region in Africa. They went to the airport and then all of a sudden this thing comes out. So I don't get it. So the other part about this is just another one of those things where they're trying to create this fear. Right. And I think the thing is dead at this point, but I do want us to kind of, this is the same trend, Mel, that we're seeing with everything, with the COVID and all of this stuff. It's this push to try to come in. And this push for this vaccine is killing me. It's just driving me crazy.
Insane. Today they announced the FDA that they have an emergency use authorization request from the CDC for the vaccine on under 5-year-olds. Yeah. I can't even believe that this is still continuing with everything we know. But, you know, the CDC and FDA are not working for the people or humanity. They're working for the, you know, the overlords.
And the EAU is worse, actually. Yeah. I thought that they were, hey, you know what? They're kind of the good guys on it. They're worse. They're pushing.
They compromised or captured. Yeah, it's really, really scary stuff. But anyone that would take the monkeypox vaccine right now is, you know, they're gone in as far as I don't understand justifying that in your brain.
At this point, you know what? Everybody should be putting the brakes on and waiting for this stuff to settle down. I mean,
I agree.
If you haven't figured this out yet at this point, I don't know if you will. You know, right. I see your numbers, they keep going up. More and more people are listening to you, and which is awesome for you, right? Because you're getting
But it's not just me. I mean, there's so much out there that just says, you know what? As much as you want to believe that you were right and you were following the government and you were following the World Health Organization and all that, there's a lot of danger, damage, and death. I mean, again, today I wake up to another, you know, 19-year-old lacrosse player dies suddenly out of nowhere, and then they give you 40 reasons it could have been, and it's like, no, it's there's only. At this point, how many coincidences till it's mathematically impossible?
The trends are mind-boggling.
I know.
So I'm going to stop here, and I want to switch gears now.
This is interesting.
What you're saying. This is some of the trending that you're seeing. So this little, sometimes I write my notes on paper. Sometimes I put them here so I can remember. I'm just kind of like that crazy guy, right? Yeah. But so what's interesting is this starting to see this huge increase in hepatitis in children. And what's really interesting is this thing has spiked exponentially this year, over the last few months in particular. So my first question to myself was, okay, is this too early to be see a result as a result of the vaccine injections or not? So that was something that I was looking into, and I'm looking at the data, and the data to me indicates that this data, the vaccine most likely is contributing to this, because there's no other factor that would be doing it. So there, my conclusion is that there is a direct correlation between the vaccination and the hepatitis, these kids. Now, what no one has truly done yet has broken it down like they've done in all the other categories, saying, okay, vaccinated, unvaccinated, let's look at the numbers. It's not there yet, because this is early data. You're looking at May, right? Early May?
Yeah.
April, and halfway into March. So what you're seeing is March, April, May, you're starting to see this number.
Right.
So what has to start happening in this next group is break those down, vaccinated, unvaccinated. And once you do that, you're going to see this trend. I guarantee it, because we've been seeing this trend in all the other areas that I've been monitoring.
Right.
Right. So here's a breakdown. April, October 2021. Look at number two here. This is kind of an interesting one. Mm-hmm. In October of 2021, case of a 47-year-old completely healthy man demonstrated evidence that COVID shot triggered hepatitis. Okay, this goes back to your question, where you were saying, hey, wait a minute, we're seeing this hepatitis. They started to see this trend in adults back in October, November, and December.
Right.
Right after, you're starting to see these vaccinations come through. So then what happens is we roll back in, and Journal of Hepatology comes through. They're starting to see cases of these vaccine people.
Right.
So they were starting to see this in adults early, as well as the Pfizer data. After that first data dump, was starting to see this, but you couldn't at that time start to break that data down because they didn't give you the underlying information, right?
Right.
But all of a sudden now, we're starting to see this huge increase in our children.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't forget, they didn't give the shot to our children too much later than us.
That's my point. That's my point. And that's why I said here, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Is this too early for us to use this data set of vaccine related or not?
But right.
Now, because that trend is starting to come through, we need to break this data down into vaccinated versus unvaccinated, because I suspect that what you're going to see, and this again is my opinion, that these cases will be directly related to children that have been vaccinated.
Right. I agree. No. I don't see nothing else changed. Nothing else changed.
No.
You know? And they're messing with the numbers everywhere, too. I had on Tom Renz. They're messing with the DOD numbers. They're messing with the VARS numbers. They're messing with. So even finding this stuff is hard enough. But then finding, you know, the dates and when it started, how it correlated, that you know how to do, you know, really shed some light on it, because they're really trying to make everything that's happening from the vaccine seem like it's something else.
Right. And it's the crumbs that I keep telling you about.
I know.
You have to dig through these crumbs. Anybody that's doing their research and following through, you can't cover everything up. And right. So what you have to do is take VARS, this database, this database, this database. But there's also, to be fair, there's also these ultra conspiracy people that are putting out all of this information that saying all of this. And so what it's doing is it's flooding the market with, you know, bad information versus real. So you have to kind of dig through that, because there's also this group that everything is in that vaccine, right? So we've got to keep our perspective back. We have to sit back, calm down a minute, right?
Yeah.
And then look at it. But this data here, when we're starting to look at this thing, you break it into the CDC, you pull up European data, you pull up the medical journals of what they're seeing, and you're starting to see a trend. It's just like, Mel, and you just talked about this a little bit ago, was all of a sudden these kids dying of heart attack, all of a sudden. And it's no conspiracy to say that every one of them have been vaccinated. And all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you got this huge group over here that have been vaccinated that have now all these heart attacks, and the ones that aren't doing it.
Yeah, if this isn't about money or it's not nefarious, I don't understand why they're not pulling the entire vaccination program for children already. I don't understand that it's not deadly for children. We know that for sure. This doesn't make, I mean, it's at a point where it can only be nefarious or greed, because there's no reason for children. And I saw it just today. They're asking for the emergency use authorization for under five. And it's like, there's absolutely no reason to do this. And, you know, I'm in New York where under 5 year olds are still wearing masks. And these insane parents are walking around with their babies basically all masked up here. It's crazy.
Yeah. And very, you know, sad. Let's go back to the beginning of time when you and I first started looking at this. God, it was a long time ago now, but remember some of my original graphs where I was saying that this was completely an abnormal virus in itself, because it flatlined at children, right? And then it went up like this to the adults. That was what a lot of the preliminary data was saying. But what it said then was kids are immune.
Right.
Right. Normally you see a bell curve, or you see some type of, you saw the opposite. It was completely flatlined and then went up. But because of that, and that was all of the original data, which has disappeared and nobody's talking about it, all of a sudden now it's children, 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 get your children vaccinated. Why all of a sudden did we make a switch when all of the original data that was coming out for 6 months was showing kids don't get it?
No.
Right? Kids didn't get it. Kids don't need to wear a mask originally. They didn't need to. The 6 feet apart to me is mind-boggling. You know what I think it is?
That's totally insane. It's mind control.
666.
Right. That's my and mind control. Like Kathy, MK Ultra survivor, she says six feet under, 6 feet apart. It's like all mind control, neuro-linguistic programming and isolation, keeping people away from each other. But even still, at this point, I still cannot believe that parents are getting their kids injected. I cannot even fathom a parent weighing or even not even looking into it. There's enough out there that kids don't need this injected into their bodies.
You know, it's kind of interesting because when my kids were young and they were going to school, there was always a group of parents, but always moms. They're like, I don't want my kids vaccinated at all, right? So back then, I thought that were a bunch of Looney Tunes. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people did. But also, like, again, this isn't a vaccine. So right. on top of that, because, and even still, I mean, they even admit that it's not, it doesn't stop the infection. And then how they all go in lockstep in there. Well, thank God I got it, or it could have been worse, where they have no evidence that that's true. You know, this is not what we were told was a vaccine our whole lives, which was if you get the vaccine, you don't get the, you've been talking about this for 2 years, but you know, so again, that's another big part of this. We're still playing along, calling it a vaccine when it's obviously not a vaccine.
No. If it was a vaccine, what would happen is you'd be cured.
Right.
Right.
There'd be no way to get it.
And it's like, okay, so that didn't work. So like, oh, well, thank God I got it, because it would be much worse. You know, there's probably a million people that had it that they didn't even know.
Right.
Right. Because I feel tired a little bit, just like, you know, a common cold. But
right.
This is something we need to continue to monitor.
I agree.
Because I think that what we're going to see is an increased trend. I mean, as April of 2022, we saw 74 cases. Then all of a sudden it jumps up to 109 cases. So I think we're going to see more and more of that. And how we're going to combat that, I'm still not sure. To be honest with you, I'm still not sure. Because we don't know what the next wave of attack is going to be.
Right.
So I think what we do at this point is we just continue to educate ourselves with as much knowledge as we can and be prepared. So the Journal of Hepatology noted that 7 additional cases have been suspected following the COVID-19 shots in both. But this was kind of an interesting thing too, Mel. It's in both vaccines. Emergency use only.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's something that we need to keep an eye on. Let's switch gears to happy time.
Okay.
I want to jump into some of the stuff that we've been seeing with regards to this new technology, where everybody's saying that they have these med beds a little bit. And I don't want to go into extreme detail. Tachyon particles is kind of an interesting concept. And so this is one of the 3 buzzwords that's been coming out with regards to this new technology of healing. And, when you come in and you're doing this thing. But there's a couple of things here that I want to point out a little bit. I got to jump to my notes a little bit, because this in itself, Mal, is an entire show. So I don't want to get into this in excessive detail today.
What is it? Can you just explain?
Absolutely, I can. So tachyon particles is something that originally it was hypothetical originally. What that is it's a particular type of particle that moves faster than the speed of light. So particles previous to this did not exist, and everything, the original theory was nothing could move faster than the speed of light.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's not true. Tachyon particles, though, is a very interesting technology, because these tachyon particles, as researchers and physicists have started to do more and more research, they do exist, right? But there's also variations of this that also exist, okay? And so what some of these technology companies are saying is, well, we're using tachyon-based particles, and that's going to heal your body. But so I've been really digging into this concept a little bit, a lot. And so let me tell you some of the buzzwords that are coming out with these technologies to avoid.
Okay, great.
All right. So tachyon particles, we just talked about, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail on this so everybody is aware about this. Electromagnetic therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
FDA class 2 approval process.
Hmm.
Okay. And particle frequency admission is another one that they're using. So let's talk first about what an FDA class 2 is.
Okay. Now,
not going into excessive detail, basically what it is, it's the approval of a device that is non-invasive.
Okay.
Now, what that means is you're not going inside the body. We talked about this, remember, with the light technology where, for example, red light variations of it can penetrate the skin within 4 inches of the into the body to do to healing, right? But the basic concept of a non-invasive device means it doesn't go inside the body and it doesn't do any particular type of cutting, moving around, or having a direct
effect. Trauma.
No trauma. You're not cutting yourself. It's not going in, and you're certainly not taking something out.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's exactly what those are. These words right now are the new words that are coming out with this technology. And I got a number of these that have come in recently. And so I did do research into them. So those of you that sent me a couple of those, I did do it. I looked into them. And again, I'm going to go back to the same thing. I think we need to be patient.
Right.
I think we need to wait because there is some things coming in that are actually going to be not just med beds. And I'm going to stress that the med bed and the med bag technology does exist because the combination of these things are showing us that they do exist. There's no question about it. And these other technologies do exist. So I want to show you something here really quick.
Okay.
So how much time we got? About 10 minutes. So I want to go into this a little bit here. Particle therapy, this goes back into exactly what we're talking about, but this is a variation of an older article, and an older article being earlier into 2022, okay?
Right.
So this is actually an example of this. I pulled this out of a medical journal, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking into bone sarcomas and metastasis. So what they want to try to do is say, hey, can light cure or eliminate cancer, for example.
Right.
And this one right here is interesting because they're talking about particular types of variations of particles. So they're hitting the body with these different types of particles, including tachyon particles is a generic term now. They've been actually able to really identify these more. But this is showing that there's potential use in terms of helping and developing people. They're calling it proton therapy. It reduces it. It's more refined in terms of DNA. But here's really what you're seeing. So, and I want to do an entire session on this. So your body is this frequency vessel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So if you go back into our modern technology, what you do is you come back in and let's call it like a group three, okay? Group three, in terms of third dimensional approach to medicine, is cutting, slicing, taking out the cancer.
Right.
Okay. Then when you go into the next level, which would be 4 and 5 level frequency, they're saying, well, wait a minute. We don't need to come in and kill or cut out the cancer because the cancer is simply the same cells within the body that have been altered to a different frequency. So, mm-hmm. The Rife machine, for example, is a perfect example of what that does. They're coming and say, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to refine that frequency and we're going to eliminate the cancer. I'm going into a basic level, guys. I'm going to go into detail later, but that's really what they were doing. However, what you had to think about when you're doing that is if everybody's operating at a slightly different frequency.
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to change that cancer cell or whatever illness that is, any cell in the body's maintaining that same level of frequency, right? Mm-hmm. So the Rife machine was coming back and it was blasting it with specific frequencies. They try to fine tune it.
Right.
This type of technology is the opposite. What it's doing is it's taking a healthy cell vibration of your body and then pointing it towards the bad cells in the body, saying, hey, by the way, you're slightly off here. You need to remember this is where you need to be. And it's changing that frequency. That's where this is going in terms of the magnetic technology and the frequency. And there's different variations where one in particular comes out and they say, hey, you lay on this bed for only 8 minutes a day and you'll feel good. It works on it relaxes your muscles. It's a magnetic frequency that it's generating. Now, it's not healing you. All it's doing is it's putting you into this magnetic field. And it's realigning some of your muscle tissues or your cells.
Right.
So, but there's some very specific technology that's been in development now for about 4 or 5 years that is starting to come out that deals with this. This is only one example of this, and this is early phase testing. There is late phase testing on this stuff. Mm-hmm. I know this is a lot of words, guys.
No, that's okay.
Because this started in July of 2020, where they were doing this. Now, the number of subjects that they were looking at is not enough to say this does or does not work at this point, but this is early stages of this. There are advanced stages of this.
Well, I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah. So the exciting thing is, guys, there's a lot of this thing that is coming out. I'm going to break this down into five different levels of technology moving forward. So that's what we'll do next.
Great.
On this. So I'm going to pause in case you have any questions on any of the three things that we talked about.
No, I think everything's been very clear. These are things that I've been wondering about. I feel like a lot of this stuff, hopefully that you're finding is going to be available to the masses. I feel like a lot of this is probably already out there and just starting to, because you dig in so much, starting to get out there. I just look forward to the day when all this is readily available of the technology that you keep finding out there. It exists and it's not a myth and it's real. You know, what a different world we could have in terms of illness. But again, we're fighting against, you know, people that want us to be sick and on meds and on endless vaccines and this and that versus all this technology that could change life and health and healthcare for the good. So it's like
I think this when we have change and we get to the other end of the bridge, I think that the medical technology will probably be one of the later things that comes out, sadly. I think anti-gravity, some of that things, those things will come out before some of this technology. But what you're seeing right now, and this is just one example, and I know it's a mess, guys, I apologize.
No, I do think, though, that the medical industrial complex, what we know as medical, healthcare, pharmaceutical, all of that is a house of cards that is slowly burning itself down. And therefore, a lot of this stuff that has been held back because of money and greed and, you know, nonsense depopulation plans by the overlords will make way for a lot of this to have a lot more ability to make it to the public. Because I think a lot of this, as you think, I know, has been held back from humanity on purpose to keep their machine going, their medical industrial complex, pharmaceutical complex, all of it.
Control.
Yeah.
But we're pushing the edge here. One thing that I want to stress to people here is this is a demonstration that we're pushing the edge, right? We're right on that cusp of, we're now saying, okay, we know that there's other ways to come in and heal the body. We don't have to go in and start cutting and hacking. There's new types of therapies that's coming out. And this article, and this is what I want to stress with everybody, and I know this is a mess, but what I was going to say was,
it's a paragraph.
Well, I mean, there's just a lot of information here, but what this is showing is we're pushing back and we're right on the edge of that cliff into getting into this thing. What upsets me though, is people are using these buzzwords to sell a product that isn't what it is truly intended to be. So this is showing
us
what
we do here. We try to clarify what is real and what is not. Look, I see it all over the place, but that's why I always go to you. I don't really have on anyone to talk about this stuff because the research needs to back up what's being pushed out there, because it's not right to so much, even in my own journey, I've learned so much over time and been wrong and then right, and then had to figure out something or find a missing piece, and then something makes sense in a different way. And that's what we're dealing with here. But that's why, because you do the real heavy lifting and you also know where to look. Most people don't know where to look for the research that backs up any of this stuff. If you can't find it, you're going to say, I can't find that, so I'm not going to say, you know, this or that. And that's really what's so important, that you're an actual real life scientist. It's not this okay thing, with putting out theories. I know.
When you see four or five slides, you're talking about, for every slide, imagine at least 2 hours of research.
I know it. And at you least. Do it out of the goodness of your heart and wanting people to know the truth and come on here. And it's like, you have a full-time job and a life. So it's really appreciated. And I know, yeah. like I said, our shows do really well. Everywhere I go, people thank me for our shows. And it's important that there's somebody out there that's, you know, skeptical.
Yeah, you know, you have to really
skeptic. Kind of look at this. Yeah.
So moving forward, we're really going to deep dive into these torsion fields, some of these frequency plates and these frequency generators, but they're different than what we did. Do you remember we did a session? And this was my last piece was, do you remember we've done a session twice now? And it started back about at least a year ago, where I was talking about the Russian scientist that took a particular type of photon light. He took a healthy cell, he pointed it at a bad cell, and then it grew. Remember that?
Yeah, I totally do.
That's this.
Wow.
This is an advanced version of that that was done. And the Russian scientists in particular really did a ton of research on this over the last 20, 30 years.
Wow.
So the fact that now we can communicate with these different scientists, you know, I talked to people from Germany, I talked to people from Russia. But what's really amazing is we're saying, hey, I found this. Did you find this? And there's a group of us that just
It's awesome.
Feed off of this information. So the good news is this isn't just here. This is everywhere in the world this is happening.
Right.
This is exciting.
And we had to, you know what, because of your credentials and who you are able to be part of these groups that are forming outside of the academia, locked patent, all of that is so corrupt that like good scientists that are sharing information worldwide that you're a part of these groups is really just a tremendous benefit. And this didn't happen before where you could get outside of that complex. It was like they were all seeing eyes of pharmaceuticals and science and all that. And that's why we're so lucky to have you, because your credentials and everything give you entry into foreign countries and foreign scientists are coming up with at the same time. And then you share and they share and then you share with me. And it's like, this isn't happening in America, but it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, so as you know, a lot of times I take information, I kind of bleed it down and put it. I always use the peanut butter and jelly approach. Right. Now, what I mean by that is I'm not saying everybody is not at the same level, right? What we have to do is first take everything down to a basic level so we can all start there, right? But what's really cool when you have this type of technology and you do your research, and I really have to do my homework before coming to some of these groups. But what happens is instead of starting at peanut butter and jelly, we start right here and we say, well, wait a minute, what about this? What about this? And so that moves us a step forward. So as that moves, everyone else moves this. And so this is how it goes to where we're all going to get it. And then some guy that has no science background is going to look at this and, well, wait a minute, if you say this and you say this, I'm going to make this.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're going to see. Yeah. Right. And then we're going to see this huge surge in this field.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's good. A lot of people are hoping for this. And I believe that it's all going to come. Like you say, when we're over the bridge, there's going to be a lot more possibility for treating a lot of different things that we've been told have no cure or it has to be so invasive. And it's not true. So excellent show, Senior. Excellent show. I very much appreciate your hard work. Ask and follow both Michael and I on Truth Social. It's Ask Mike L! And the Mel K Show on True Social. And then if you have questions or want to share information, Mike is kind enough to to entertain any of that. And if you have information to add to any of the topics on any of the shows, we both love input. We know that we don't know everything. So anything you know that you can share or help the audience understand, please be in touch with us. Thank you, Michael. And I look forward to seeing you again very soon. You always blow my mind. So I appreciate every minute you spend here.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Love
you
guys.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. It is an American company made in America, grown in America, packaged in America. And that makes me really happy because I always talk about defund the cabal, refund the kingdom. What better way to do that than to start getting your superfoods from MelKSuperfoods.com. And when you go there, you know that you're getting the best quality, no fillers, totally organic. You're never going to be without healthy fruits and vegetables right at a moment's notice. We don't know what's going to happen with the supply chain. We don't know what's happening with food prices, with what's going on in the market. So I always know if I can't find what I'm looking for, I always have my daily amount of fruits and vegetables that will keep me healthy and thriving right in my cupboard. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead. Hey, Patriot Pals, Mel Kay here. The controlled demolition of the economy by the private Western Central Bank and the Biden regime-backed World Economic Forum Great Reset can no longer be denied or ignored. Consumer prices are skyrocketing. The Fed is raising rates. Inflation jumped 7% this year alone. That's a 40-year high. Now is the time to go full steam ahead to protect your hard-earned savings, 401ks, and IRAs by diversifying your assets by investing in gold and silver. Please visit our friend Andrew and his team at Beverly Hills Precious Metals at melkgold.com. That's MelKGold.com. And he'll help you put together a personalized financial plan to maintain your security and sovereignty no matter what comes ahead. Protect yourself and your assets for the future. Please do not be left behind. Now is the time.
Hey, Patriot Pals, Rob Reilly here. One of the most important things Mel and I do in this war between good and evil is traveling the country, meeting fellow patriots like yourselves. We share stories, resources, gain new tools, make new friends, and get activated to take back our freedom for God and country. Go to themelkshow.com events and come join us. You will have an amazing experience and be reinvigorated to stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As always, God wins. See you there.